O Holy One, our Hosanna, our blessed Savior, may you once again fill our space with your presence. And now may the words that I speak and the meditations of our own hearts always be pleasing and always be acceptable unto you. For you are my Lord, you are my rock, and you are my gracious and holy Redeemer. Amen. Well, how many times have we sang these words? Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, about 3 years ago, if I may, we were in Israel, and we were, I think, at the Chapel of Nations. I think it was called the Church of Gethsemane, I believe. But I was looking at the distance, and I was told that this gate that was immediately across from I was standing was the gate that Jesus used to enter into the holy city of Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. But sometime in the 10th century, or maybe in the 11th century, when the city was overtaken by many other people and conquered, it was closed up. It was not boarded up. I mean, it was literally closed up. Because from the very beginning, in the time of Jesus, the whole idea of the Messiah coming into Jerusalem from Mount Olives, because Mount Olives is right there, was a dangerous idea, was a dangerous thing. And in fact, that is one of the reasons why the gate was closed. Because even now, in our present time, the whole idea of the Messiah coming down and to offer us the gift of peace remains a very dangerous and radical idea. In John, Jesus walked into the city and then rode in a donkey, and somehow in the Gospel of John, Jesus was able to secure a donkey, and people waved palm branches and saying, Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And we know that this is a very important feast, the feast of Passover. People saved up for this kind of feast. And one may ask, why would people save up for this feast? Well, they're required to make three sacrifices. The first sacrifice is offered to God, the whole animal sacrifice to God. And so that costs money. And the second sacrifice, well, it is offered to the high priest, the temple priest, you know, as an offering, but it is for the community of people who were responsible for taking care of the worship life. And so the third offering is really for the family. You offer this sacrifice, give thanks to God, and then take it back home or to your Airbnb or whatever that is in Jerusalem at that time, because the feast of Passover is important, and you got to have that sacrificial lamb unblemished that was dedicated and offered to God. And the slogan was pointed. It was a religious longing, Hosanna, O save us now, O blessed one. It also had political overtones because the king is coming into town. But there is this expectation that the king who comes into town, of course, will be riding with his full regalia and dressed for battle. And all of a sudden, Jesus came. He was wearing his usual tunic and nothing else, and people were waving palm branches. In Mark, which is our reading today, the two disciples were instructed to go into the nearby village, and they will find an animal there, and they were supposed to untie that. Can you imagine the fear of these two disciples? You are going to go into someone else's property, and you are going to untie that animal and say, Well, the Lord has need for it. Can you imagine the kind of fear that was in the heart of these two disciples? You're going into somebody else's property. You're going to be hurt. Even if you say, well, this is what the Lord requires, you are going to be hurt. And immediately, according to the scriptures, they ask him, what are you doing? What are you thinking? This doesn't belong to you. So it's a really interesting narrative. But the more interesting part of the narrative was that in earlier conversation, you know, the two disciples were arguing with Jesus. Lord, let me sit on your right. Let me sit on your left. You know, they were arguing because they want to be in a position of power with Jesus. And according to the scripture, they were James and John. Well, the disciples were so upset. They were so angry because they asked, well, what are you asking? Why do you need Jesus to put you in the right place? And Jesus summoned them, and Jesus said, well, you cannot drink from the cup which I use. And if you want to become a servant, if you want to be closer to me, you must empty yourself and you must become a servant. And then later on, in our scripture, when it was time for Jesus to enter into Jerusalem, he needed to find a colt to enter into the city. Now, the two disciples, according to the scriptures, were not named. One may assume that it was actually James and John. So if Jesus had a sense of humor, Jesus probably did, would be interesting, right? The one who decided, well, maybe we can ask Jesus to secure us a place. Well, they were on donkey detail. That's what it is. They were sent, go and get that animal. Can you imagine the disciples' reaction? They were probably snickering. I told you so. This is what you get. You know, because if you want to be arrogant, this is what you get. Can you imagine the kind of behavior? And the rest of them probably were so proud of themselves walking with Jesus. And these two disciples were experiencing a different kind of humility because they were on donkey detail. And they entered into the city of Jerusalem. But when I think about the story and the humility that Jesus calls us, I find myself and I find many of you in that same situation. Because we need to take care of the mundane things. We need to take care of the ordinary things. Well, if you have bake sale, you bake cookies. If you have rummage sales, you show up to make sure that the rummage sale is set up. If you are part of the trustees, you show up because the things that matter in order for the church to be hospital needs to be taken care of. You turn on the lights, you turn off the lights, you lock the door, you unlock the door, you unlock the door. You check the pews, make sure that they are in order. You basically kind of look around. So all of these mundane, ordinary things are placed upon all of us. So I think even though we're not on donkey detail, I think we can resonate that, you know, we really are very much closer to these two individuals. We know that during the time of Jesus, Palestine was a pressure cooker. Herod the Great was the king of Judea, and his son later on, Herod Antipas, took over. Caesar Augustus was the supreme ruler of the Roman world. Pontius Pilate was the governor in that area. Well, the Jewish people still come to the temple in spite of what we already know about the rampant abuses in the temple. And people still greet each other. If they were in Jerusalem, and they'll say, well, next time we see each other again in Jerusalem. If you were part of the community that were in exile because they cannot go into Jerusalem, and they will say, this time in this place, but next year I will see you in Jerusalem. So there's this profound hope for what is coming. We know that Hosanna literally means, oh, save us now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. To be blessed means to speak well of and to offer our praise. And when people were shouting this, they were referring directly to the book of Psalms, Psalm 118, where it says, "Lord, save us. Lord, please grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you and we seek your blessing." And we know that they wanted Jesus to bring back the ancient glory, to bring back the success. And that's why it says, "Grant us success, O Lord." But you see, so many things were in play during that time. It was said that when Herod the Great refurbished the second temple, he made sure that there were special colonnades or places in there so he can see all of the festivities of the going-ons in the Jewish temple. Because, you know, whenever there's a festival, it's an opportunity to show off. You know, it's an opportunity for him to bring out the very best of the Jewish kingdom. He was afraid, because whenever Jesus comes into town, Jesus seemed to change things around. And whenever there is a festival, there was a water festival that Jewish people observed, Jesus said, "Well, I am the living water. If you come to me, you are going to be restored." And then Jesus came into Jerusalem when he said, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Herod was nervous because he pays allegiance to Caesar. What will happen then to the community? You see, when people traveled from town to town during those days, they rode donkeys to denote peace. So if you want to be peaceful, you don't drive a Hummer, right? Anyone drives a Hummer around here? You know, if you want to... Maybe there's one, but you just don't want to admit it. So it's more like a Prius, although Ron drives a Prius, and I think Colin also drives a Prius. So when you walk into town, you know, you don't want to drive a Hummer in Jerusalem. You want to offer a different kind of peace. This is the whole idea of Jesus, trying to convey humility. But more than that, Jesus was announcing the kingdom of God. We know that people this week in many corners of the world march for their lives. And I don't really care whatever your positions that you hold, but I do care that we promote a different kind of culture. I do care that we promote a culture of life. And you and I have to wrestle what this means, what this culture of life really, really is. And I think about Jesus coming into town, because that is precisely what he was talking about, to create a different culture of life, a different way of seeing, because God's kingdom is coming into town. We know that there is no Palm Sunday without an eye to the passion of Jesus who died on the cross in Calvary. But when I look at the scripture once again, I realize that the scripture is dripping with irony. When we think about what the church is doing, where the church is right now in the United States or in other parts of the world, and you know, you wonder what is going on. In Europe, for example, we continue to see the decline of faith. So that our churches there are now museum instead of places of, in terms of places of worship. So the other day, we were at the recital and I was looking at they have a small library in that school. And I saw something interesting. It's a quotation. They said that when there was a time when the people were emerging from the Middle Ages, that the whole idea of Renaissance and new life was a wonderful idea. You know, it's a clash of ideas. It's an invitation to reason and to use your mind and all of the experiences that are very important. The Renaissance movement believed that that's all you need. And then there's this outlier. There's always an outlier. I can't even pronounce his name. I don't know his work. Goethe, G-O-E-T-H-E. That, I think that's how it's pronounced.
Goethe.
So that's how it was pronounced. He was an outlier. He proposed a different understanding. And he believed that in his world, and in our world today, it is not only through reason and experience, but rather we can engage the world in our daily living when we care and when we support one another. I know that some of you are going to see Jesus Christ Superstar in theater sometime. I think I've seen the film, or I may have seen the theater version in some place sometime a long time ago. And I can't remember the songs. But one song that I remember is, Hosanna, hey, Sana. And I thought, what does that mean? You know? So I had to jog my mind. I had to Google it. I had to YouTube it. And they were singing, Hosanna, hey, Sana. Was that a play of words? Hosanna, hey, Sana. I didn't even mention it until one pastor mentioned it. Hosanna, hey, Sana. And the pastor suggested, and I agree with him, that it's really a call to prayer, you know. When you say Hosanna, you're calling to Jesus. Hey, Sana, blessed are you. It is a prayer to save us now. And Jill mentioned about the letter to the Philippians, which is very important in our understanding of the Christian faith. It clarifies what Jesus was demonstrating when he entered into the city. You know, the letter was penned by Paul when he was in prison, and addressed to the missionary cities, and in particular in Philippi. And these communities were formed on the basis of what they have heard to make disciples for Jesus Christ. It was not only a mission statement. It was really a statement for their being, for the present. It is living and breathing statement of faith. Because, according to the book of Philippians, he was in the form of God, he emptied himself. I believe that during Palm Sunday, this is the work that we do. Recognizing that Jesus has emptied himself. He emptied himself so that he can fill us again with newness and with new life. We know what the scripture says. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God lasts forever. May our Hosanna truly be a reflection of God's call for us. Amen.